saves, eat what shines.
I have to have her. You will scream for years.
Stephen King's Dr. Sleep, rated R.
What's going on, Flix Talkers? We just got out of seeing Dr. Sleep, and I'm so pumped up, man. Yeah, I mean, even though it is a little later and I'm sick and drowsy, I mean, it might be time to go to sleep. But this movie did not put me to sleep. I think it's going to be one of those movies that is part of the niche demographic of people that love Shining.
Yeah, yeah.
And we were talking about it right when we got in there. We're like, nobody's in here.
Yeah, yeah. I know. It was pretty empty. It was not many people in the theater.
Yeah.
Which is a shame because
it was really, such really a like good
it was
movie. I mean,
really epic.
I thought it was a perfect, and we live in a world of sequels and you know, they just want to keep doing reboots and stuff like this.
And sequels.
This is something that was 39 years after the fact.
Yeah.
Almost 40. I think this guy, Mike Flanagan?
I believe it is
the director, Mike Flanagan. Now, I looked him up a little earlier. I know he had done like Oculus. Also, he did the Netflix show, The Haunting on Hill House or something.
He
did that.
Haunting a house.
He did that for two seasons or whatever, however many seasons.
Yeah.
So I hadn't seen it, so I'm not sure.
Really good show. You'd like it.
Yeah. So, I'm not sure his style, but this blew me away with all the shots. It was a perfect sequel.
Oh, I agree. I thought it was a perfect sequel. It held really well. Just it all tied together, and it was just really, really, like you said, 39 years after you know, The Shining, and to do this, and it was perfect. You know, it was a perfect sequel. Really good.
And we're coming off of a sequel or a threequel of Dark Fate last week. Of them trying to do a sequel off of something that came off in the 90s.
Yes.
And I let it soak in a little bit after a week, and I feel like they did not execute that well.
No, they did not in Dark Fate at all.
Yeah, so. not like how they did in this one here.
Yeah.
Totally, you know, very, very surprised by it, guys. Like I said, it's going to be for a niche demographic, I think, the people that like Shining and that know about the Shining realm.
Yeah, definitely. Or like, you know, Stephen King fans, you know.
Yeah.
Everything like that. You read his books. You know, I got a buddy at work was saying, "Oh, I want to finish the novel before I watch the movie." And I was like, "All right, you know." But really, really good movie. And like you said, you got to be that fan of, you know, The Shining, Stephen King. You know, like we are, and you really appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really, really good.
So a quick overview. I won't expand on it too much because I tend to do that a lot. But we focus on Danny a little bit, kind of just. Years later, we had grown up Danny. He is a mess.
Yeah, he's messed up.
Yeah. So 2011, Danny is messed up. You know, he's going through a lot of drugs and just trying to fill the void of losing his father at a young, young age. You know, he had a brutal, brutal, if you guys have seen The Shining, you know, he went through hell at the end of that movie. So he's, you know, holding that deep inside. He ends up in a new town in 2011, decides to turn his life around.
Yeah.
You know, he was living on the streets and whatnot. You know, after that, we get 8 years later, he's cleaned up. He's sober.
He's sober for 8 years.
Brand new
person. Didn't touch any alcohol. Yeah, no drugs.
Yeah. Brand new person. He's very, very clean cut, on the right path. And he starts to discover that there is more kids out there that have the Shining. It's more prevalent in kids. He's probably the oldest one, I think.
Yeah, I think he's the oldest one.
Yeah, the oldest one that has this. And then also we get the side story of the antagonist. That's Rose the Hat.
I
think they called it Rosie to a Rosalind or something. Some of that. Her and her cult, pretty much is what it is. Is they are these soul suckers. They called it Steam.
Steam, like the people of The Shining, when they're in pain or they yell out, they let off the steam, The Shining.
Yeah, so it's The Shining in a physical form comes out and they suck it up, and it pretty much just, they're like ongoing vampires.
Yeah,
like
yeah, they just exactly. Like live they're, forever. They're like, they live for a long, long time, and they suck up the steam when, you know, somebody with The Shining is in pain, and that's what they feed off. They feed off the fear, and they feed off the pain.
Yeah.
And when they absorb their Shining, that person's Shining, that's when they get that ultimate power, you know, and that's their food.
Yeah.
That's their food. That's what they live off. So they're like, all right, you know, they're going town. We got to find who has the Shining, and they're just like trying to pick them off.
Yeah. And it's not only, you kind of think about it, but like, whoa, how are they going to find these kids? But they almost have like an inner like GPS where they can really, they have like this like mantra where they meditate and they can just kind of, the shots were amazing where there's a shot, guys, where Rose the Hat, she's kind of flying over a city and it was fucking epic. It looked really cinematography. It was
really, really awesome.
Really good cinematography, guys, and it just kind of threw you into that realm of just fantasy and science, like thriller, and just so many genres just kind of bending the world. I got Doctor Strange vibes.
It was really well put together. I kind of chuckled a little, and not like chucking, make fun of it, but like when she's in the air, I was thinking about a part in The Big Lebowski where the dude is, you know, floating and he's in the sky and he's flying.
Very reminiscent. But I thought she was an excellent villain, someone that needed to be stopped. You know, she was weaker than our main shining character, Abra.
Yes.
And she was extremely powerful.
She was, I think, the most powerful one. And even the villain, Rose Hat's like, whoa, I've never met anybody this powerful, ever. This has never happened, you know?
Yeah, so it was cool seeing them clash just basically in their minds. And I thought it was totally awesome. And then, you know, you get Danny's character trying to help her out. And then definitely trying to heal those inner wounds from The Shining.
Yes.
You know, from when he was a kid, so he can get closure. So he can finally get closure. Yeah. That's pretty much essentially what it is, guys, in a nutshell. And, I mean, you get a lot of the older characters thrown in there as well. We got Carruthers. I always forget his name in the movie.
Halloran. Dick Halloran.
You get all these characters that played with Mom Wendy, Jack Torrance. You get, you know, these characters. Yes. They're not them, and I'm so glad they didn't, like, CGI their face.
Yeah, I'm glad they CGI it, make it look cheap, and, you know, or glitchy, graphic-y.
Motion cap or anything like that. They actually used, unknown actors, from what I could see, someone that looked like Wendy, and she definitely sounded like Wendy.
Oh, she definitely sounded like
Wendy. The mother, and someone that looked like, Jack Nicholson a bit, you know, and definitely had the mannerisms. So that was cool kind of seeing them. And even younger Danny was another child actor, of course, someone that looked similar to Danny when he was little. And so it was cool. It was really cool kind of showing flashbacks a little bit of those gaps that we didn't really get to see in The Shining.
Yeah, like what happened after they left the Overlook Hotel. Mm-hmm. That's the story. It's like, well, what did happen to Danny and Wendy, and then, you know, it puts it in there, and you see it, and you're like, oh, okay, cool.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I thought that was excellent. All tying up all the loose ends. Also, we get a really good friend that becomes like that befriends Ewan McGregor's character.
Yes,
that was Cliff Curtis.
Yeah. He played Billy Freeman.
Billy, yeah. Yeah. He had a nice little role in the film. Helping him out. He trusted him. He just was like, you know, you need a job. He's a good hearted guy.
He was like a good person. He was just genuine good person and helped him out, and, you know, no questions asked, and was there for him, and really good character.
Got him sober and got him on the right path. Yeah. And it was cool. It was cool seeing their bond, and he ended up helping him in the end, you know, like, just go above and beyond, and he learned about his shining too. And it was really, really awesome.
Yeah.
And the music,
the music was really, really good. The music was, like The Shining, that chilling, you know, that chilling noise, the heartbeat, the loud heartbeat, the dun, 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 dun.
That part creeped me out.
And just a little, like, when the lights are flickering and you hear it just, you know.
Yeah, I noticed that, and that part creeped me out the most. Yeah, and I was like, oh, shoot. So we get, like, we get a lot of cameos from the actual, not cameos, but we get a lot of, actor representation from the characters from the original Shining. So you get a lot of the people that were part of the Overlook Hotel.
Yeah.
You get that creepy, like, grandma in the bathtub type of thing. Yeah,
she's back. So room 237.
Yeah, it was awesome seeing all that, like, nostalgia, especially since we resaw, you know, The Shining, like, a week ago.
Yes.
I felt like all the end, like, everything was perfect. Like, it ended perfectly. Like, I was fine with this happening at the end.
Yeah.
You know, I was fine with just totally everything that happened. Now, there is something I wanted to talk about that made me, there's probably going to be, like, people queasy about a child death that happens. Because I think that people are a little sensitive when it comes to seeing that, and there is kind of a graphic, like, extended, prolonged scene of a child getting killed. And I won't say who it is because it's a spoiler, but it's kind of important to show this because it is one of their main feeding.
It is. That's, like, that's, you like, know, that's how we said, that's how they get their power. That's how they get their, how they live for, you know, forever so long.
Yeah.
It's what they, that's what they do. And it's hard. It was hard. It was like, but it's important to, it's a story, mm-hmm. and that's what it is. And
it's also so, like, it's so out of the norm of, like, a horror movie. Like, you don't see that stuff.
Yeah.
At least nowadays, you don't see too much because there's a lot of people that like to, you know, that's too much for them and stuff like that. So I think the director taking a chance on throwing that in there, I don't know if that's part of the, like, you know, a book or series, or I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not 100% because I haven't read the book myself, but I mean.
Yeah, I don't know if that's part of that, but it really pulled you in a little more, even though it is a little bit kind of taboo seeing stuff
like
that.
I think it really wanted to, you know, show just how evil these characters are.
And they were.
And it's the perfect example of you got good versus evil.
Right.
And these people will do something this heinous and this terrible. And it's just to show that their evilness and what they're going to do and what they're capable of. And, you know, it's just... it does that whole good versus evil, just back and forth.
So. And they did a good job of the balancing act of it. And you also said, I want, before I forget, the character of Crow.
Yes.
Yeah. You said that he was also in Westworld. And...
It's Zach McLaren.
Yeah.
I hope I'm saying, I might not be saying it right, but
it's all right.
I had to look twice. But yes, he was at Westworld. He's been in Fargo season 2.
Oh, okay.
Really, really good. Yeah. Really good character actor.
I thought he played a pretty good bad guy in this film. I'd never seen him before, but he had that face of someone that looked like he'd kick some ass. Man.
Definitely.
Or just like a tracker or something that, you know, that
exactly.
nature.
Exactly. That's what he was in, like, Fargo. And he was just a complete badass and in Westworld. So.
Yeah. Yeah. So they had a cool ensemble. The whole lore of everything. I mean, it made it seem like that these soul seekers, I don't know if they have like an actual title, but the cult, it seemed like they had been around for hundreds of years.
Oh, yeah.
At least hundreds of years.
Oh, maybe more, you know, I don't want to say anything to spoil it, but there was a part where, she had talked about some
of the past
stuff
things
they've seen. And it's like, that was, you know, at least 1,000 years.
Yeah.
You know,
you're right. Yeah.
It had to be a long, long time. So,
yeah. I would love to see, I mean, it's probably not going to happen, but I would love to see either a spinoff or maybe even another sequel explaining a little bit more the back, you know, ends of these characters, or even if there is more of these, you know, steam suckers, I guess you want to call them, of The Shining. And, cause I thought it was interesting.
It was very, very interesting story. It was really, you know, cause we don't see a lot like this, you know, anymore. And it was creepy. And it was just like, you got that creepy, chilling vibe and you're watching it and you're watching what they're doing. And you're just like, geez, you know, it was amazing. And that's what the story is, you know,
And it was original. That was the thing that really stuck me. Like, I kept turning to Jeremy saying, I've never seen something like this.
Yeah, yeah.
It was a very original story. Really the characters original. Are very original. Like, I didn't feel like, I've seen that in that movie or that movie. Or that.
Yeah, no.
This was completely 100% Dr. Sleep. It was awesome. And I really, you know, applaud it for that.
No, I applaud it. I give it 110, you know. It was really awesome. Yeah. Really did a good job. They did what they wanted to do. Story was there. It just, everything fit perfectly, I thought.
Yeah, they did a great, you know, service to The Shining itself.
Yeah.
You get a lot of homages, of course, from the Overlook Hotel. Even little things as small as like the transition swipes.
Yeah.
You know, that was really heavy in the first movie.
Yeah.
In The Shining, you know, when you go from one scene to another scene, instead of just cutting it, it fades into the other one.
Yeah.
Just like they did in The Shining.
Exactly.
So little subtle things were.
Just little subtleties.
Yeah. It was cool. And I really appreciated that, you know, long shots of just like people walking around or just creating this tension. And, I thought Rose, like I said, like keep going back to Rosa Hat. I thought she was badass. That's right. That's what I was going to say. She's from Mission Impossible movies.
Okay.
Yeah, like the last two. I don't know if you remember that.
Rebecca Ferguson.
Yeah, Rebecca Ferguson. Yeah, I thought she was cool.
Oh, she was cool. She played such a badass, you know, villain. Mm-hmm. One you hated. You know, you watch her and you hate her. And you're like, man, she is terrible. She's evil.
She was evil.
But when, you know, like when an actor does that and you get that, to that point where you're like, oh, I hate them. I can't stand that. It's like they're doing their job, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
It's like if you go in there and be like, you know, it's whatever, then it's just like, it's not really working out, but she, I was just like, ah, dude, I hate her. You know, she is awful. She's evil. Get her out of here. You know?
Yeah.
So it, she definitely worked it pretty well.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Now, what did you think about Ewan McGregor? We didn't talk about him too much.
Ewan McGregor, I really like him as an actor. He's really, really great. I thought, you know, an older Danny Torrance, I thought he was perfect.
Did a good job.
You know, and he got all those elements, you know, like you said in the beginning when he's just completely messed up and he's on drugs and, you know, you feel all that and, you know, he's really into that and it's just, you're just like, man, you know, it just takes you in. Mm-hmm. And then when he gets sober up and he does that 180 and he gave a lot to it.
Yeah, it was important for them to show all that. Even though I didn't think they were going to show that, I thought it was important to add to the characteristics of Danny.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was just great. The isolation of the small town that he ended up becoming in. It was like New Hampshire or something like that.
Yeah.
And then, you know, it was cool because they didn't show big cities. Yeah. Sometimes when they show big cities, it's like, oh, okay, it's very generic, you know, mm-hmm. but they showed like New Hampshire, Iowa, like these very, very small towns where you think, oh shit, anything could happen anywhere.
Oh yeah, yeah, you know? Anything, definitely.
I thought this director nailed it.
No, he did nailed really, it. Really good.
Yeah, yeah, and I was telling Jeremy too, this guy, Mike Flanagan, not only directed it, he wrote it.
Yeah.
And he edited it as well.
Yeah, it was really good. I didn't know he did The Haunting of Hill House, which is a really amazing show.
Yeah.
Which really creepy. We've got some good, you know, it's a lot of vibes from that, you know, over here at Dr. Sleep.
And I heard a lot of good things about that. I might have to go watch
it. Check it out, dude. It's really good.
So overall, what do we give Dr. Sleep 2019?
On a 1 to 5 scale, I give it a 5.
You know, 5 out of 5.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I thought it was perfect.
I definitely give it a 5 out of 5 too, man. I kept throughout the whole movie. I kept saying, "This is perfect. This is perfect."
Oh yeah. Like, no, it was perfect. It was so good. And you know, it was just, it all worked well. And it was just really well written and just acted, and everybody did great. You know, it was really a good movie.
Yeah. Once again, guys, I mean, I do think this is going to appease to the Shining fans. You got to really put yourself in that realm. It's over, it's almost 2.5 hours, right?
I think it was like 2.5 hours. 2.5 hours.
Something like 2 hours, 26 minutes, something like that.
Yeah.
So, you know, like I said, there wasn't that many people in the theater, and I was hearing people like yawning and stuff like that. You really got to kind of put yourself in that world, and you would do yourself a service if you watch The Shining, I think, before you watch
it. Oh, yeah, definitely.
If you haven't seen it in a while.
Definitely watch The Shining before you see this one, for sure.
It ties it all together.
Even like you said, you know, even if you haven't seen it, The Shining, in a while, I'd rewatch it before you know, just watch this, because you're just like, oh, okay, yeah, you know, and you catch little things, and you know, things we were talking about, just little subtleties and everything.
And they use like the room that he went to go, that Jack Torrance interviewed him. This guy like nailed it, dude. Like, and then you get to see the Overlook Hotel at the end.
Yeah.
Oh, and everything was like perfect, awesome. Like the way it was.
like when you see the Overlook Hotel on the screen, I was just like, I was like a little kid, you know, I was just like all giddy, and I was just like, oh, there it is, dude.
There it is.
I was like, oh, yeah.
Even when you look over the lake, when they flew over the lake.
Those POV awesome. Shots when they fly over. It was so good.
Everything was really, really good. It was their director did a great job, man. He, you know, sticking to the subject matter of it, you know, not only the characters of Danny and Abra and Rose the Hat, but you know, also the Shining realm too. The Overlook Hotel Shining.
It brought in what was so great about The Shining. And then did its own thing, which was great for its own thing. And it all worked out. And, you know, people are going to compare it. Well, what's better, The Shining or?
I don't think you can.
Compare the two. I mean, they're like the same universe, but they're two completely different movies.
Yeah.
You know,
it's a good set. It's going to be a good collector set.
Yes.
Piecing these two together for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah. Did you have any more?
What do you think about the girl Abra, what'd you think about her?
I thought she was good. I thought she did a really good job.
I thought she did really good.
Yeah. Sometimes it's kid actors, man.
Sometimes
it's a little tough, but, I thought she was really, really good in this film. Also, we got the kid actor of, I totally forget his name, but he was in Good Boys.
He was in Good Boys. Yeah.
So he has a part in there as well. But, going back to Abra, I thought she was, a really cool, clever girl. She showed really, you know, how much power she had.
Yeah.
Pretty much from the get-go.
Oh, and she did. And she had this confidence when she was doing it. And when she got into her Shining, and you're like, oh, man, she's a badass. She's,
yeah. And she was using her shining for good too.
Like, yeah, she was using it for good.
You know, I don't want to get into spoilers, but she does use it to solve a murder, and it's like, whoa, cool. Like, why aren't all these kids doing that?
Yeah, totally.
But that was cool to see. I really did like that.
Yeah, that was really good. The kid we were talking about, the good boys, it was Jacob Tremblay.
Okay.
Yeah,
I could definitely see him on the rise as far as, like, more future films.
Oh, yeah, definitely. For sure. He's good.
Like I said, the music was great.
The music was amazing.
I don't think it was a direct rip from the actual Shining, score. I think they remade it.
I think they retweaked it.
Yeah, it kind of sounded like a little more modern a little bit, but it was great.
Yeah, it was really good. I heard Stephen King actually, liked it and gave his praises.
So that's what I was gonna ask you too. Like, what do you think Stephen King thought about this?
Yeah, from what I heard, he gave his approval and, I'm guessing he liked it. So.
And going from, hating The Shining.
Yeah, because he didn't like the Kubrick Shining, and he liked this one.
Yeah, I think of the novel The Shining as being the true history of the Torrance family in the Overlook Hotel. I've been asked a lot about the Kubrick movie, and basically it is what it is, and that's fine. And I know that it has a lot of people who really, really love the movie. But I said in the afterword, for instance, in Kubrick's movie, the Overlook Hotel freezes, and in Stephen King's book, the Overlook Hotel burns. But that was the difference in temperament. He was cold and I was warm. You can't scare people unless they care about the characters. If the characters are just cardboard cutouts, it's not working.
Yeah, I say you guys definitely check it out. I know, it's going up against Midway, I think, was the biggest release this weekend.
Yeah.
Two totally different movies, but I think if you guys are Thriller and Shining fans, you guys definitely need to check out Dr. Sleep.
Definitely check it out.
In the
theaters. Really, really good.
Yeah, very creepy vibes.
Definitely in the theaters. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
I'll be definitely picking this up, adding to my collection.
Hands down. Get on 4K.
Oh yeah, man. All right, guys. Well, if you guys did like this review, please give it a thumbs up. Let us know in the comments below. Are you guys going to check it out this weekend, Dr. Sleep, or are you guys going to wait till VOD or streaming to check it out? Also, make sure to hit that subscribe button and notification bell to always get notified about content like this, guys. All right. Till next time, we're gone.
All right. Bye.
Bye.